One of the most respected Baptists of the 20th century was a man by the name of Carlyle Marney. And after he retired, he created a retreat for ministers in Western North Carolina, a place where ministers could go to refresh their spirit, renew their calling, even heal physically and emotionally from the challenges of ministry. And during a colloquium, one young minister was pouring out his frustration, venting his anger over his lack of progress in ministry and his frustration with his congregation. And as he was just spewing forth pain, Carlyle Marney murmured, "Give grace, John. Give grace." Those words help explain this mystifying parable told by our Lord of a master of a vineyard who goes into this town, to the place where laborers stood, early in the morning and hired a group at 6 a.m. and agreed on the very fair wage of a denarius a day. And then he looked and thought, "I need more workers." He went back at 9 a.m. and at noon and at 3 and hired more workers and said, "Whatever is fair, I'll pay you. Just go work." But then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes back into the square and there's still a few people standing there. And he says, "Hey, why are you still there?" He says, "Nobody will hire us." "Well, I'll hire you. Go work in my vineyard." Comes pay time, and he gives everyone, whether they worked 1 hour or all day, a denarius. A very fair wage for those who had worked the whole day, an exorbitant wage for those who had worked half a day, and an extraordinary gift for those who had just worked 1 hour. And immediately the moralist is going to go, "Unfair, that's unfair. How can you pay those folks who just worked an hour the same as those who spent all day in the hot sun?" And the master's answer is, "It is my nature to be gracious." Now, before you think the master capricious or unjust, ponder for a moment the people who only worked an hour. Jesus' listeners knew who they were. If you think about it, you do too. The folks who stood there in the square all day long were not lazy. It took a lot of fortitude to handle the rejection of never being picked. But they were those deemed too young, too old, too crippled, too sick, too weak to do a good day's work. They were the people who were always overlooked, always picked last. They knew they hadn't earned that denarius. But more than anyone else in the vineyard, they needed it. They knew that that denarius was an extraordinary gift of kindness. They knew that the master of the vineyard had given grace. Now, the people who had worked all day, if you notice, they aren't upset about the first laborers getting just the denarius. They just thought, "We're going to get more." Master said, "No. No. Give grace to those who only worked an hour and received the same gift. Give grace. Because only then do you understand your own status in the vineyard." The people who had worked all day thought they had merited that denarius. They thought they had earned it. But the master said,
You're in the vineyard on the same basis as they were, by invitation only. Working in my vineyard is a privilege. Give grace, because the very fact you're working in my vineyard means you have received grace. I have invited you to work for me.
One of the great theologians of the 20th century is a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian of incredible courage. And Bonhoeffer wrote a book called Life Together, in which he made the observation that the beginning of true Christian faith is understanding that every one of us ranks among the worst of sinners. Every one of us ranks among the worst of sinners. He said, when you begin with that thought, that rankles the natural secular person. But it also rankles the self-confident Christian to think that they're among the worst of sinners. Those laborers who had spent all day in the master's vineyard, they were self-confident Christians. They thought they had merited their place. No, each of us has to see ourselves as among the worst of sinners, and our presence in the master's vineyard is pure grace. We've been given grace and called then to give it. One of the great preachers in Christendom was a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great London preacher who brought many people to Christ. And one day, a friend of his relayed to him a scathing denunciation of Spurgeon by a disgruntled church member. And Spurgeon's response was, "He just said that because he doesn't know me. If he knew me, he would have said something far worse." Spurgeon had brought many people to Christ, but he knew, like Bonhoeffer, he was among the worst of sinners, and his whole ministry in the master's vineyard was pure privilege, pure grace. Our God is a gracious God. And when we understand that, we understand that our participation in the kingdom is an expression of God's gracious nature. And so we're called to give grace even in the most difficult of crucibles. I think of a Union soldier, leg shattered by a musket ball on the third day of the Battle of Gettysburg. And he's on Cemetery Ridge in his pain and his anguish, as he watches General Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general, retreating from Cemetery Ridge. And though he is in pain and in anguish, he summons his courage and says, "Hurrah for the Union!" Robert E. Lee takes notice of him and dismounts. And the Union soldier thinks for a moment, "He is going to kill me." But then he looks at the compassion in that general's eyes. And Robert E. Lee reaches down and takes him by the hand and he says, "My son, I hope you will be well soon." And the Union soldier wrote later, "I have been raised all of my life to hate things Southern. And here was the leading Confederate general on one of the worst days of his life, having lost the battle that would doom his cause. And he gave grace." The soldier said, "I put my head down on the earth
and I cried myself to sleep. Give grace. Sometimes the hardest person we have giving grace to is ourselves. Quite a few times in my ministry, someone has come to me and said, I have messed up so badly, have made such a horrific mistake, I cannot face my family or my friends or my church anymore. And I always ask them, okay, if your best friend came to you confessing what you have confessed to me, would you shun them? No. They respond, I'd admire their courage and their honesty and their willingness to move forward and repent. Does that mean, I say, that you think you are more gracious to your friends than your friends would be to you? No. Sometimes the person we have most difficulty giving grace to is ourselves. And the thing is, sometimes we think it's only by achievement we earn God's favor. Only by attaining the brass ring, only by winning the trophy are we truly blessed. If you go through your life with that definition of success, you're going to be miserable. Because not all of your plans are going to work out that way. If it's only when you win that you think God is good to you, you can go through life saying, unfair, unfair. The truth is, the whole journey, highs and lows, victories and defeats, are expressions of God's grace. Give grace. Outside Fredericksburg, Virginia, there is a monument to a man called the Angel of Mary's Heights. It commemorates an event that happened December 1862 when Union soldiers tried a frontal assault on entrenched Confederate troops and they were mowed down, decimated. So much so that by that evening, 12,000 Union troops lay in the field dead or wounded. And their piteous cries could be heard on both sides, their anguish evident. And a Confederate soldier by the name of Richard Rowland Kirkland said, I'm going to do something. He went to his officer and said, I would like to go take water to those wounded men. He said, son, you step over that wall and you're a dead man. They'll shoot you. He said, I'd like to try. The officer gave permission. He leaped the wall, and sure enough, the Union soldiers thought at first he was despoiling the dead, and they started to kill him. But then they realized he was taking water to the thirsty wounded. And they began to cheer. For an hour and a half, the Angel of Mary's Heights brought water to wounded men. And 9 months later, he was mortally wounded in combat at Chickamauga. Give grace. It may not be appreciated. It may not be understood. It may not protect you from misfortune. But when you give grace, you mirror the character of Christ and the nature of our own redemption. And the God who sees in secret will reward you. May we pray together. Lord, you indeed have bestowed grace upon us beyond our imagination. And the only way we can truly be
responsive is to live in gratitude, a gratitude that takes the form of grace unto others. May that be the touchstone of our faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.